This is Michael Weiss with Series 7 Exam Tutor. This podcast will focus on direct participation programs. Whether you're using Kaplan, Past Perfect, or any other prep provider's materials, the content for this topic is difficult for people because the questions can be very detail-oriented. The most important thing to know about DPPs is that mom and pop down the street would not invest in one of them. For the most part, only institutional investors and other accredited investors will buy these limited partnerships. They are sold in private placements via the exempt transaction regulation D. For the Series 7 exam, I would suggest studying DPPs with the following in mind: suitability and taxation. Limited partnerships could easily be the focus of a suitability question, testing you on whether or not you know that Aunt Mary, the school teacher, would not be interested in any DPPs. As I mentioned previously, the only people who would buy these investments would be highly sophisticated and are wealthy investors. It's also very important to know that limited partnerships do not trade in the secondary market. Although part of this space is traded in the form of master limited partnerships, but FINRA will not likely ask you about these MLPs. Since regular DPPs do not trade in the secondary market, they do not have much liquidity, which increases the risk level of these securities. If DPPs are so illiquid, why do people buy them? Well, for the same reason people buy other risky securities or investments, which would be the potential to generate a higher return. DPPs also have some tax benefits, as they have a pass-through of losses and sometimes tax credits. Also, from a suitability perspective, you should have a general idea about which DPPs are very risky and which have less risk. None of these investments are going to be a safe investment, but there are degrees of risk. For example, you'd want to know that real estate DPPs focused on raw land or oil and gas DPPs that are exploratory are at the high end of the risk spectrum, while a DPP that gives you immediate cash flow would be safer. Cash in your pocket now is always safer than an investment with the potential for growth. Current cash flow in the form of dividends is one of the reasons that value stocks are a little safer than growth stocks. I would not get too caught up in the very technical aspects of DPPs, such as figuring out the basis and how to treat recourse and non-recourse loans. Taxation as it applies to DPPs is important, but I think you'll probably see easier tax questions on the exam. It's also probably not a great use of time trying to become an expert in some of the sharing arrangements. If you're using Kaplan or Past Perfect, I would not worry too much about lower scores in DPPs because the weight on the exam is probably going to be low and some of these practice questions are very challenging. This concludes the third episode of the podcast. If you would like additional information about me or a Series 7 exam tutor, you can visit the website, www.series7examtutor.com. That's www.series7examtutor.com. Let's all hope that FINRA will go ahead and let people take exams from home sometime soon. Thanks for listening.